This is Glow in the Dark Radio. The science fiction podcast with original independent science fiction written and performed by Mike Luoma, with music by Kevin MacLeod, The Vatican Assassin Trilogy, and The Adventures of Alibi Jones by Mike Luoma are available in ebook, trade paperback, and audiobook wherever you find your books online. Get links and details at glowinthedarkradio.com. This is the Science Fiction Podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you for listening. As we get into Alibi Jones and the Star Seeds of Earth, Chapter 10 on the way on this episode. And it is the first draft. This is a work in progress, although I shouldn't say first draft because I've been writing and rewriting. I was actually rewriting part of this today. So it's a work in progress. I can't just call it the first draft anymore, I was realizing. That happens as we go, you know? But at this point in our story, Alibi Jones is somewhere deep underneath a mountain in Vermont, where he discovered a being seemingly trapped in a force field who called themselves, the Archmage. And Alibi found this underground cavern with the help of Mark Edwards, who has been standing next to Alibi catatonic ever since he touched the force field. Alibi has been speaking mind to mind with the Archmage. Now, he wants to try to wake Edwards back up as we begin Chapter 10 of Alibi Jones and the Star Seeds of Earth, coming up in just a minute or two here on Glow in the Dark Radio. We'll get to the chapter in just a minute. Just a couple things to mention first. I want to thank everybody who took advantage of the Valentine's Day special, and got a copy of the Alibi Jones Omnibus. I actually gave away quite a few, which is great. That's what I wanted to do. I mean, you know that's promotional, right? You know, I figure I've got to prime the pump and win over some new fans for Alibi before we launch the next novel, the one we're listening to now here. So enjoy the books, and you know, if you like them, why not think about a copy to put up on the shelf? The Omnibus itself is only available as an ebook, but you can pick up all of the individual books as paperbacks. And of course, there's details at glowinthedarkradio.com. I want to remind you that you can support this podcast by becoming a patron on Patreon. Love to have you. For just $2, $5, or $10 a month, you can become a supporter of this podcast. Different levels get different kinds of gifts and things. I try to give you incentives and things that are early and, you know, make it worthwhile to be a patron. Free audiobooks sometimes, because I get promotional copies for the ones I narrate and I like give them to you. So you can check those out. And of course, you help support this podcast, which is free every week. You don't have to, but you can. Place to go, patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio. They take your credit card and they take care of charging you each month and it works. Oh, and I put the call out for some Q&A, for some questions for Q&A. And I've heard from some folks, so I do have some cues to A. you can reach out on socials. Let me know if you've got any questions. I'm on Facebook, facebook.com/MikeLuoma, MikeLuoma. Or go to our group, which is facebook.com/GlowInTheDarkRadio. And there's even that's our page. You can even go to our group, which is the Radioactivists, as part of Glow in the Dark Radio. Or find me on Twitter. Twitter.com/MikeLuoma, MikeLuoma. and on Instagram, Glow in the Dark Radio. Reach out and let me know if you have any questions, and I'll do some more Q&A. But I did get some in, and so I'm going to do some Q&A after we listen to this chapter today. So we'll cover some after this. Coming up next, we've got Chapter 10 of Alibi Jones and the Starseeds of Earth on Glow in the Dark Radio.
The Flesh Pulp Podcast. 3 to 10 minutes of fiction brought to you thrice weekly. 200 miles below the surface of the Earth, at the terminus of a series of long-sealed caverns and interconnected shines, under the shadow of the eternally bleeding eye, there is a crippled wreck of a man writing tales. Stories of a dimension engulfed in madness. He is writing them of you. Find them all at fleshpulp.com or search for it on iTunes.
Now, here's Chapter 10 of Alibi Jones and the Starseeds of Earth on Glow in the Dark Radio. Edwards remained dazed, in a standing up sleep of some kind. Alibi concentrated on waking the man up. He sent a wake-up thought as he also yelled, "Wake up, Edwards!" Edwards started to sway, slightly, from side to side. "Come on, Edwards," Alibi commanded. "Snap out of it!" "Huh?" Edwards blinked. "What happened?"
"You went into a trance after touching the force field."
"I did? Yeah, I kind of remember that. I guess I did. Hey, why is your wand going nuts like that?"
"Proximity alert," Alibi explained. "Means there's a ton of people up there, back outside, looking for me. They seem to have tracked me down."
Edwards took out his own wand and checked out what he could of the situation. "Those are Solar Alliance vehicles out there," Edwards said. "After you?"
"It's kind of a long story," Alibi said.
"Because you blew up that planet?" Edwards asked. "That's what I heard. Didn't you blow up a planet or something?"
"I didn't mean to blow up Kismet, that planet." Alibi was trying not to get angry.
"But it's gotten a lot bigger than that now. The current Solar Alliance administration is kind of evil. They forced my aunt out and cut off all her pensions. So we broke free of them."
"We?" Edwards asked.
"There are a few of us getting together, using our old covert ops base, the Hornet's Nest, as our base of operations," Alibi explained. "My aunt's there now, keeping things humming along."
"I bet she is," Edwards said. "I do remember her, like I said, but I hate politics."
"But you were a governor," Alibi said.
"Never elected," Edwards said. "I was lieutenant governor when the governor was assassinated. Couldn't get reelected. Your father tried to help, but he kind of hurt my cause. My PR guys hated him."
"PR guys?"
"Yeah," Edwards said. "I was trying hard, too hard, to get reelected. Hired this guy Julius Spears, he and his kid, come to think of it. Clashed with your father. You know, his kid works for the prime rep now, all grown up. Justin Spears."
"Maybe he could put in a good word for me," Alibi said.
"Looks like he could use one," Edwards said.
"You can't leave like this. Not with them out there. And not with him like this."
"Like what?"
"Almost forgot Edwards and I weren't alone. Awake and aware. He already knows too much. This must change. And those outside cannot find you. And they certainly cannot find me. You must elude them."
"Wait a sec," Alibi said. I don't want to hurt the guy. You don't hurt him either.
Hurt who? Edwards said, focusing. Who are you talking to?
Brace yourself.
What are you doing?
This. Help me. Add your power to mine. We will erase their recent memories. Then you will walk out of here. I will steer Edwards out in a few hours.
Alibi felt the pulling on his mind. He gave in and felt his thoughts join closer with the Archmage's.
Good. Now, work with me. Propel this working. Think this thought with me. Forget!
The two of them sent out a mental pulse made of forgetting. At least that's what it felt like to Alibi. Edwards dropped to the ground, unconscious.
Hey! Alibi shouted. I said I didn't want to hurt him!
He's just unconscious. I'll take care of him. You should go. The others out there are also knocked out for a time. Go now.
Back the way I came?
No, ahead. There is a way out of this chamber. The path continues down until it connects with and follows a natural stream. You'll head back above ground when that stream does. Follow the stream down the mountain, back into town.
Okay, Alibi said. He started to move, then looked back at Edwards, crumpled on the floor. You're sure he's going to be all right?
He'll be fine.
Alibi turned and left the cavern. He made his way through the underground passage, as it went from smooth-walled to natural stone, from man-made corridor to deep cave. Good as the Archmage's word, Alibi emerged into the outside world as the stream bubbled up out of the underground. He looked up.
There they are.
Three Solar Alliance cruisers loomed in the sky over Alibi, giant, incongruous hulks of tech hanging there in the air above the beautiful, natural, tree-wooded ridgeline of the mountain. He hoped they were out cold up there. He laughed at himself a little as he realized he was trusting in a self-confessed member of the ancient enemy. Yet, the Archmage had let him out of the mountain as promised. The stream continued as he said it would. He had no reason to doubt him.
I hope he was straight with me. Hope Edwards is okay in there with him. Man, I hope I can get home.
Alibi marveled at his twisting path of the last few months as he walked along the stream's edge. It was all Finder's fault, really. 3 months ago, Finder showed up at the Hornet's Nest trying to find a starseed. Alibi had originally met Finder when Alibi was tracking down the Dakur artifact, the Sunrise of Hur. Good as his name, Finder helped Alibi find that lost relic. But Finder worked on a sort of barter system. In exchange for him finding what you were looking for, he had you find something for him. Alibi found an old relic of the ancient enemy for Finder, the Travel Chair of Inokata. And while Alibi did get his hands on the Sunrise of Hur, he'd later discovered Finder had secured the Travel Chair for one of the ancient enemy who'd come forward in time, Azumet. The consequences of that were profound. Azumet used the chair in a failed attempt to bring about 100 of the elite of the ancient enemy forward through time. His failure caused their resulting disembodied energies to coalesce and form the Hunger, a mass of sentient, devouring energies. The Hunger then terrorized the great ship of the Rodei. Encountered at first as a seeming ghost ship, the ship was actually made up of the Rodei themselves, not entirely corporeal entities, the Rodei were resonant energy forms which used the substance of their ship to coalesce. The Rodei called on Alibi for help in evicting the Hunger from their ship. Though he ultimately defeated the Hunger, the great ship was destroyed, and the Rodei nearly wiped out as a result. Before the battle was over, Alibi found he'd even had to fight for his own body. One of the ancient enemy left the Hunger and possessed him, took his body over, and stole it from him. Alibi won the fight, but helping Alibi expel the invader had cost his friend Kat, the Darkor, his life.
Too high a price. Hidden costs. Finder's services come with too many hidden costs.
Huh. Still no word from Kit. Kit had been his friend until Kit blamed Alibi for the loss of his fiancée. a tragedy Alibi really had no control over. Before he died, however, Cat had made his brother Kit swear to reconcile with his estranged friend Alibi. So far, however, Kit still kept his distance from Alibi in the Hornet's Nest. Alibi kept hoping to see Kit suddenly appear at the base one day. A surprise guest. Instead of Kit, we got Finder. Finder found passage on a free trader out from the solar system, and wandered off the trade ship as they unloaded cargo. Alibi remembered how Emily Brown, covering security, had him held as a suspicious person until Alibi arrived at the landing bay. "He's fine," Alibi told Emily. She nodded, then left them. "Finder," Alibi greeted the man. "What brings you out to the Hornet's Nest?" Finder looked around, suspicious of his new surroundings. The ship's bay was empty of other people.
"Need some help in finding something, of course," Finder said. "My sense tells me you're the one who can help me find it."
"Yeah, but," Alibi said, I don't think I need to find anything. Well, maybe some peace of mind. Got any of that?"
"Funny," Finder said without humor. "I'm sure there's something you need that I can find for you. You just don't know what it is yet."
"Well, sure," Alibi said. "Maybe that's true. We don't know. We can't. Convenient."
"Sorry,"
Finder said. He wasn't. "Wait," Alibi said. "Do you know what it is I'm going to need?"
"Nah," Finder said. "That would be kind of creepy, wouldn't it?"
He frowned.
"I just know that I'll know. At some point."
"What do you want me to find for you?" Alibi asked.
"Shh." Finder shushed him. "Not here. Get anywhere private?"
"Sure," Alibi said. "Come with me." Alibi led Finder to his apartment. He let the man in, then locked the door behind him and engaged a security field. "Okay, so what's the big deal?" Alibi asked, once he and Finder were sealed off. Finder looked around as if searching for eavesdroppers. Then he focused back on Alibi.
"You ever hear of starseeds?"
Finder asked, in a hoarse whisper.
"Sure," Alibi said. "We learned about them once we learned about the ancient enemy. They shot off thousands of starseeds when their planet was destroyed. One last attempt to keep their race alive somehow. But then the Eldred went around eliminating any they could find, right? Except one came to Earth and we were started up. Then were hidden by the Flays and the Domo until the Eldred found out and tried to kill us off." "That's good, you know a lot," Finder said. "More than most these days. I'm highly disappointed by the recent decline in the Solar Alliance's educational standards. But I digress. I need you to find me a starseed."
"Really?" Alibi asked. "Why would you want to find an old starseed? Wouldn't they be used up? I mean, I don't know, spent somehow? All the DNA goo gone?"
"Not at all," Finder said. "They were nearly indestructible depositories of all the ancient enemy's knowledge, among other things."
"That would be valuable," Alibi said, "I guess."
"That's why the Flays were on Earth with the Domo, you know," Finder said. "The Domo could just eat us and gain some benefits from the ancient enemy's DNA. The Flays wanted the starseed itself, searched high and low for it. They wanted to add it to their collection."
"They have a collection of starseeds?" Alibi asked. "The Flays?"
"They did," Finder said. "Lost now."
"Oh, really?"
"Stolen by the forgotten race, the Devrisium," Finder said. "Or so they say."
"They say? Who says?"
"The Flays."
"So the Devrisium got them all?" Alibi asked. "Including Earth's?"
"Oh, no," Finder said. "The Flays never did find that one."
And now, neither have I.
Alibi glanced over at the little river. His gaze followed it back upstream to take in the mountain. He looked, but couldn't see up through the trees from here to check on the safe ships hovering above the ridgeline. They probably can't see me either, which is good. He'd found something. Just not the thing he'd been looking for, the starseed. Still not exactly sure what it is I did find. Alibi turned and looked ahead at the river's path, winding downhill through the trees. Be happy now just to find my way back into town. That was Chapter 10 of Alibi Jones and the Starseeds of Earth on Glow in the Dark Radio. Alibi Jones making his way down the mountain. And flashing back, too, thinking back on, you know, how he got into this whole mess with Finder and all. A little more flashback action, a little more climbing down the mountain action on our next episode, next chapter coming up, Chapter 11. Alibi Jones and the Starseeds of Earth. That'll be on the next episode. I want to remind you, you can support this podcast on Patreon. Become a patron for $2, $5, or $10 a month and help keep the podcast going. Always appreciate that. Patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio is the place to go. Now, I did promise to do a little Q&A because I have gotten some Qs. So, I'm going to make with some A's here, but if you want to ask a question, just find me on social media. That's twitter.com/MikeLuoma, MikeLuoma, or facebook.com/MikeLuoma, or facebook.com/GlowInTheDarkRadio, or with the radio activists there. I heard from John on Twitter, the Bacon Man, at the Bacon Man on Twitter, and he had a few questions. He said, when and how did Al fall from grace with the Solar Alliance? Thought he was working on the down low. What's the environment like on old Earth at this point? Wars, global warming, and such. And he asks, is the NCC still around? So those were John's questions, and I've got a few answers. When and how did Al fall from grace with the Solar Alliance? He was working on the down low, but then he went up against the Solar Alliance at the end of the Hornet's Nest when he went and tried to get his aunt back when a Stinger ship got destroyed. So basically, at the end of the Hornet's Nest, they were all persona non grata. And Constantine had already moved to cut off Anita's pensions and everything else. So you also want to remember, too, at the end of the Hornet's Nest, they had taken over the Hornet's Nest and bought it, got it in Alibi's name. So that's when Al got run out of the Solar Alliance, was at the end of the Hornet's Nest there. He had been working on the down low, but then they broke away completely and quit. Then he asked, John asked, what's the environment like on old Earth at this point, wars, global warming and such? Well, we were able to stop global warming to some degree, although things are certainly a lot different than they are today. And there is a mention when Alibi's climbing the mountain that he had to get an ultraviolet treatment so that he could do that. And that's because, you know, there isn't the same kind of protection as there used to be. So some of the environment has degraded to the point where there's more UV radiation getting through. But because of the lessening of the population pressure that happened, first of all, as people left Earth and went into space, to some degree, a smaller amount than then in BC's day, back in the Vatican Assassin day, when they were fighting the Eldred, the plague actually wiped out a lot of the population. So the human population has kind of been brought down a little bit. So the Earth, not quite as stressed as it was, but the environment more degraded than it is now. I hope that answers the question. And then, is the NCC still around? There actually is a scene that I can refer to about this. Back at the beginning part of Sunrise of Her, when Alibi Jones goes down to Mar del Plata and first meets Finder, they pass a couple of priests who are arguing. One is NCC, the other is something called a new traditionalist. And Alibi asks Finder, what? I thought there was just the NCC. And Finder says something like, well, you know, There was for a little while, but you know how religious people are. Can't get more than a couple of them in a room before they start arguing. So there is some indication that things have fallen apart from where they were with the NCC, with some splinter groups and such. I don't want to give too much away. I'm trying to answer the questions while at the same time not giving too much away. There is going to be some of this addressed, you know, further on in this novel, like Alibi's Fall from Grace and such, too. But at this point, we really don't know for sure what Alibi's status is with the Solar Alliance and Earth. But since Alibi has already been locked up by the Greater Ta and the Tekta, we know that he's not loved by them, and they are now allied, or becoming allied, with the Solar Alliance. So one of the things that the Greater Ta and the Solar Alliance have in common is a common, I don't want to call it hatred, but certainly distrust. I guess that's not enough of a word, you know. It's not hatred, but it's more than distrust. They don't believe in Alibi Jones. So that their dislike for Alibi is a uniting factor. Okay, I hope that answers some of the questions. And again, if you have questions, if you have Q&A, just ask me on social media and I'll answer it here on the podcast. So again, twitter.com/MikeLuoma, facebook.com/MikeLuoma, facebook.com/GlowInTheDarkRadio, and the group there, Radio Activists. So that's Q&A. Once again, if you can, become a patron by going to patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio and pledging $2, $5, or $10 a month, and help support the podcast. Keep the fees all paid. Isn't quite the labor of love and out-of-pocket expenses it usually is. It helps. Thank you. And I thank everybody who is a patron now, because I do have some people who are helping me pay for this, and that is awesome. That is it for this week. Remember, we'll rejoin Alibi as he's making his way down the mountain, down in Vermont, up in Vermont, as we get back into it on our next episode next week on Glow in the Dark Radio. Thank you again for listening. I'm Mike Luoma, and this is Glow in the Dark Radio. Glow in the Dark Radio. This podcast presentation is copyright 2020 by Michael F. Luoma and is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 4.0 International License. CC by NCND 4.0. Music by Kevin MacLeod. You can find his work at acompetech.com and filmmusic.io. Mike's books are available in ebook, paperback, and audiobook wherever you find books online. Get links and more details at glowinthedarkradio.com and MikeLuoma.com. This has been a presentation of Glow in the Dark Radio.